Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Dusty and Cam in the morning.
This was never about money for us. It was about us against the system. That system that kills the human spirit. We stand for something.
With Dusty Hera.
I've had the old bull. Now I want the young calf.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Play action for Mark Bulger, firing into the end zone. Cam Cleland's got it. Touchdown Rams. With 2:11 to play, a 17-yard connection. Mark Bulger to Cam Cleland.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, hour number two, Dusty Hare, Cam Cleland with you. Kareem Hunt, does he deserve a second chance? 55305, the better you today, text line. The 1080 The Fan Twitter poll, at 1080 The Fan, says 58% no, 42% yes. We're talking about, like, you read a text that says, you know, how do we give him a second chance if he can't show how he's changed? There's a lot of ways you can do it over time. You know, community outreach, champion for causes in domestic violence, being a vocal participant in righting your wrong, right? Even doing the stupid interviews where people get to
yeah, but that's minutia, Dusty.
It is minutia.
That is false narrative. Do everything public. A court of public opinion is all that matters in this.
And those are all things.
Do you want that minutia?
Well, in the court of public opinion, they go a long way.
I don't want to be lied to. I think the only way I can take judgment on that is that I'm not here to judge it.
Okay.
You can. It doesn't matter how many times he comes out and says, I've changed. I've made this change. There are ones out there that are never going to give him a second chance. I'm not going to try to change that. It's up for you to debate that and think about that. But this false minutia that we need, it's like an apology. Okay. Unless it's sincere and you believe it, then that's between you and that person.
How do you feel then about the fact that it isn't his second chance? It's actually his third. Because
according to what?
The assault in the video that TMZ released of him getting into a fight at a Kansas City bar from last January.
With a
man.
Well,
right?
Yeah.
And then that was one of the issues. Broke ribs and nose of a guy.
Okay.
In an alleged fight in the Power and Light District.
Okay.
So, I mean, how do we feel then? I mean, if this
he's
is
a fighter, he's violent. I don't like that sit there and do that. You mean to tell me of all the things we tease about the fights that I got in college, went looking for fights, okay? Mm-hmm. Went looking for them in all those places multiple times. They're not on camera, and that's disturbing in a sense, okay? From the brawls to the frat guy fights that came after us that I didn't start, mm-hmm. but was in that. Does that make me? What is that? I mean, so these judgments on this and stuff, I'm not going to condone that at all. I think his actions are horrific. Like right? I said, my daughter, don't ever touch that. That's a whole different can of worms here with this. But if you get in a fight in a bar with a dude, don't put that on the same level.
Okay, but I'm not putting it on the same level, but I'm talking about the chances here. When we have a history in repeating, does that change in effect the way you feel about this being a second chance?
I think I think he needs to deal with some personal demons or whatever he needs to handle and find that and get the help that he needs. And I 100% think that that's with him.
And that is exactly why I sit there and I'm saying now, not the time for this quote unquote second chance by the Cleveland Browns. Yeah. My opinion.
Yeah.
Now's not it. 55305, that is a better you today text. I want more on that coming up as the show goes on and as your feedback comes in. But right now, 707.
What's hot?
Spooking.
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. compelling and rich.
Brought to you on the Fan by Area Heating and Cooling. With more than 30 trucks in Portland and Vancouver, you won't have to wait on Area.
Oh my gosh, Rodney Dangerfield is how Oregon State baseball's feeling right now. The Beavers pick to finish third in the Pac-12. They their manager. Nobody's got any faith in them anymore.
No, they got the best player in college baseball still, last time I checked. Well, and they're defending national champions. So go ahead, give them another reason to say they're not good enough.
That's right. UCLA picking up 8 first place votes. They were picked to finish number 1 in the preseason baseball coaches poll. Stanford, Timmy Tawa is an infielder for them out of West Lynn. He and the Cardinal are picked to finish second. Then the Beavs. Arizona comes in at 4th. Washington went to the College World Series last year. They picked to finish 5th. They graduated a lot of guys.
I think they did.
Okay. Arizona State 6th. Then the Oregon Ducks come in at 7. Coug fans, you guys are down at 10th of 11, by the way.
Hey, baseball season's here.
Quick, name the Pac-12 team that doesn't Pac-12 school that doesn't have a baseball team.
Quickly, Cal.
No. No. It's pretty easy.
Utah.
Nope. Oh. Colorado.
Colorado.
I knew it was one of those two.
Right.
Colorado.
I should know that.
It's okay. It's okay.
Wasn't that when I was playing? It was the Pac North and the Pac South.
Didn't you guys have like University of Portland
no,
in your
no,
league
the
then?
Pac, there was no such thing as Pac-10 baseball back then. Oregon didn't have it, so it was Oregon State, Washington State, Portland State, and UP. And Gonzaga.
Gonzaga.
That was our division.
And Zags in Portland State dropped baseball.
Right.
Oregon brought it in. Pac-12 now has baseball. Pac-12 has 11 teams, just like the Big 12 has 10. You're as cold as ice. I know this is the story everybody's been following. Actually, it is. This usually wouldn't be a story, but since they're recruiting so well, it is. Oregon has hired a new recruiting coordinator. Kenny Sanders is heading to Eugene. He comes from Penn State, where the Nittany Lions under James Franklin have had a surge in their recruiting prowess. And so he comes from Pennsylvania out west. So take that.
Bring in the recruit. Beam power in.
Yeah.
I say that with a question mark.
He spent 4 seasons out at Penn State. And in those 4 seasons, they had 3 straight top 15 recruiting classes, including the number 6 recruiting class in the country at Penn State back in 2018. This comes after Stephen Field. He left to go to Miami and be the tight ends coach down there. Justin Verlander is upset, folks. He is actually flummoxed and baffled. He tweeted yesterday, 100 or so free agents unsigned. The system is broken. They blame, quote, rebuilding, and that's BS. You're telling me you couldn't sign Bryce or Manny for 10 years and go from there? Seems like a good place to start for me. 26 to 36, great performance window to Manny Machado. Bryce Harper still remain unsigned, as does Dallas Keuchel. Wow.
Well, I thought it was really concerning the more I was going into it, because this sport is looking at having stars not showing up in their camp, looking at it with pitchers and catchers reporting. It's so bizarre to me, but I get what baseball is doing. They're just not. We'll get into the Kyler Murray thing, which I have a personal take on that one, is that Major League Baseball is under a lot of scrutiny, and there's some guys that are counting their chickens right now. They're really worried about the financial windfall of this going to a more player-friendly league.
Bubbles bursting abound in the Major League Baseball scene. All right, Magic Johnson in hot water again. The NBA says it will look into potential tampering. Yeah, I know. The president of the Lakers said on Sunday he unveiled the revelation that Ben Simmons had reached out to the Lakers because he wants to talk with Magic about being a point forward.
Yep.
And then Elton Brand, the GM of the 76ers, came out and said, no, that's not. We put a kibosh to that back in November. Not going to happen.
All right.
Well, now Elton Brand is apologizing, saying, okay, so Ben Simmons reached out to the Lakers. The Lakers came back to us, said, is this okay? And I said, no, everything is good. There is no tampering. So Magic Johnson tampered, but he didn't tamper. But then he did by commenting on Ben Simmons on Sunday.
Pretending that this doesn't happen behind closed doors all the time.
That's very
true. Players are all recruiting each other. And if you're a young superstar and you want to be part of the Lakers, I walked around. Every time I walked out and I played the 49ers, like, dude, that'd be great to be part of them. How did we get part of there? That was a great franchise. I want to be part of that franchise. What's wrong with that? What's a big deal?
What is it called? The Drew League? Is that where the NBA players and they play in L.A.?
I have no idea.
Everybody goes to L.A. to play in the offseason. You don't think that they can just go and find Magic Johnson? Hey, guess what? Go buy box seats to a Dodger game, and you're going to sit right next to Magic. Pick his brain for 3.5 hours.
What's your brand worth in Philly compared to L.A.?
Oh, come on. He's going to be a Sixer for life.
I know that. It's 100 times more.
Yeah, it is. Just go live there in the offseason. Let's make everywhere L.A. Just do that.
There's only 15 roster spots. Can't do it.
Okay. Portland Trailblazers got thumped last night in Oklahoma City, 120 to 111. Blazers down by as many as 20 points in the third quarter, but outscore OKC 33 to 19 in the third stanza. They brought it to within five, but that's as close as they got. Oklahoma City getting triple-doubles from Paul George and Russell Westbrook. For Paul George, it's a 47-point, 12-rebound, 10-assist triple-double. Yeah. Not bad. For Russ, it's his 10th in a row, 21, 14, and 11.
Two things that I saw. One, the Blazers have one star. Yes. OKC has two.
Yes.
The other thing is that Westbrook does an excellent job by training his entire team that when the ball goes up to the rim, everybody else runs down the court. He gets the rebound. He's the best directing traffic point guard I've ever seen.
Yes.
He's a stat hound.
Yes. All of those things. Facts.
And you know what? He's changed this year. He's doing a good job. He's deferring to the better player, which is Paul George.
Last night kind of showed that line between third and fourth in the Western Conference right now.
It sure did.
So we have to wait another day to see the Scott Labossiere debut in Portland. DNP, coach's decision. Mm-hmm. That's what's hot and cool on the Fan. It's brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling. Right now, Area has great discount offers on qualifying equipment from Train. Start saving today at areaheating.com. The portal is open for transfers, and coaches are getting hot and bothered. But is it good for the product? Dusty and Cam on the Fan. The transfer portal has been open. It's come into our lexicon over the last handful of months. The portal is here. 64 college football players have applied for transfer and immediate eligibility. 51 of those players have been granted immediate eligibility at their new schools, which is opening up a whole can of worms here on coaches complaining and players just putting their name in to see if there's other opportunities out there for them.
Right. It starts with Justin Fields, and this story came from ESPN, but it kind of starts with Justin Fields. You know who he is. He came from Georgia. He was a freshman this year, and Georgia does an amazing job recruiting quarterbacks. I feel like they get every star, five-star quarterbacks every single year. Well, that's hard because these guys are all elite. In their mind, they want to start. Well, he transferred this year and will be at Ohio State, and he's going to go into the starting in the Big Ten. And what they did is that they hired a legal attorney, Thomas Mayers, to advocate for them on behalf of the NC2A. And now we've created a whole new job section for these attorneys to advocate and hire these. And when you retain these attorneys now, they're going to go and advocate for you in the NC2A because you have this transfer portal ability to not have to sit out a year. It's big. It's going to change the landscape of college football. Coaches are not going to like it. David Shaw has come out and said it's going to cause issues within rosters. It's going to cause teams to look at whether they have to keep guys at different depths. Is it a concern for college football? I think it's a rule that's going to change not only for the future, but it's going to make a huge difference in how we look at college football moving towards a more, quote unquote, professional style of football.
Yeah, a lot of the college coaches are calling it free agency, and this was all done by design. The NCAA knew what they were doing when they made this rule change.
Yes.
Because they made it used to be you had to have a circumstance that was out of your control, and it had to be extreme and extraordinary, right? Mm-hmm. They made it more vague to where all you have to be is academically and athletically eligible, receive no opposition from the school that you're leaving, And according to the policy, the transfer is due to documented mitigating circumstances that are outside the student-athlete's control and directly impact the health, safety, and well-being of the student-athlete. And they made it vague like that because who is the NCAA to say that these things are detrimental to your growth? It could be anything. I mean, it could be, you know, you break up with your girlfriend. In Justin Fields' case, it was actually something pretty serious in that a baseball player at Georgia, where Fields was going to play baseball too, was kicked off the team and kicked out of school after yelling racial slurs at Fields during a game.
Yeah.
So that's what he used and Mars used to kind of as the launching off point. But it really comes down to the NCAA is finally loosening the reins a little bit, and college coaches can't handle it.
And
right
college
now.
Coaches are not going to handle it. This is a quote from Gary Patterson. He says this specifically. When I see the guy bragging about how many waivers are approved, that's not what this is about, Coach Patterson goes on to say. In how many households are the teenagers making decisions? Why are we sitting here saying they need more leverage? This waiver thing, we got to help people that truly have a problem, like their family is sick. It can't be just about you don't like somebody or somebody that's something new to you. We all have to live in a world that's like that.
So hold on. According to Gary Patterson, a teenager can choose where they go to school, but cannot choose to leave.
Well,
where
it's they go insane, to school. Buck. It's ridiculous. That is insane that a coach is sitting there on that pulpit saying that.
Well, and Gary Patterson is treating an 18 or 19-year-old, 20, 21-year-old like a 14-year-old
More like an 8-year-old. Well, I'm going to take a zero. I'm going to remove a one there.
I know, but what he's saying is who lets the teenagers make decisions? If you're 18 or 19...
You're an adult.
That is an adult. You should have a say. Gary Patterson, if you're not happy with TCU, what do?
Yeah.
You go and you take another gig, man. And don't sit there and try to tell me that you wouldn't, Gary, because all TCU has done with every big win that you have is back up a Brinks truck and give you more and more money to stay at TCU.
Oh, well, okay, let's hear from Penn State head coach James Franklin.
What a joke.
He goes on to say, we've seen kids that entered the transfer portal and haven't been on campus for the semester. How do you learn to overcome adversity and fight through battles and learn to compete? I worry about that for our sport. I worry about for the kids in our country. Oh, my God. The path of least resistance very rarely is the answer. How do you have discipline and structure and tough conversations in your program if there's always a plan B, an outlet with no real repercussions?
Okay.
Oh, my God. I mean, this is the funny thing is that these coaches are now, which what he's saying is, I have a little bit of agreement with that. Adversity. We have a lot of people that jump from team to team. I'm not happy team to team to team. That's never going to change. Okay. How you can, if you don't want to be there, I don't want somebody in my business. I don't want my coach. You want to be here? Go. We'll find somebody else.
Okay.
We will move on. But to sit there and tell me that you as a coach, how many coaches do this? Texas A&M, Florida State, Ohio State, $8 million. Coaches, a stay clause. I guess $700,000 to stay. And you're going to let...
I know.
I slap my head and go, what are these coaches thinking?
Okay, I have two things on James Franklin's comments there. He talks about, oh, these guys haven't even been here for a semester and they want out. Well, maybe you look in the mirror, man. Like, why aren't these coaches looking in the mirror and saying, what is it that is making these kids want to leave here? Mm-hmm. What are maybe we doing... Or maybe I was writing checks that I can't cash when I was recruiting this kid here.
Oh, maybe.
And how many kids get on campus and sit there and go, I was lied to.
How many offers is Oregon going to put out this year?
Like 300. Well,
Whoa. Say that again. How many 300. Offers of scholarships is Oregon going to put out this year?
The average in college football is around 300 offers.
Okay, and this isn't just Oregon. I'm just saying it's local
Yeah,
here.
Right.
They're not picking on Oregon.
No.
Okay, you're going to go out and offer 300 kids. Come to your school. How many can you actually provide?
25. Yes. And that's the amazing thing is
cash and checks, right? Writing checks you can't cash.
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
And then Dave Doran, NC State's head coach, he's like, there's 1,000 kids in the portal right now. Everybody wants to talk about player safety. What happens at a position when three guys are left? You know, how do we manage our rosters? That is like Doran's comment right there. It goes hand in hand with what you just said. If the average is between like 250, 300 scholarships that schools are offering, so wait, you're asking these kids to play by rules that you're not when you're over signing your classes? When you oversign a class and you sign 27 kids, but you only have 25 scholarships, guess what happens? Two guys lose their scholarships.
I support 100% support coaches in their own thought process on this, and I support coaches that are realistic. And I also support the players, because at 4 years, you only got 4 year window to take advantage of this. 4 years. Four. That's a blink in some people. I mean, that's, it is. And then most of them only get like 2 years of actually playing or starting. Sit. Okay, I redshirted. And wait my turn. Wait. Not all of us have that kind of luxury. And these coaches are, you really are on a fine line, man. When you sit in there and you tell these parents, God, we're so lucky to have your son. And then you go and offer four other dudes in the same position. What do you expect?
Also, I will say on this note, if you have guys that are leaving in mass exodus and you're complaining about facing adversity, why don't you think about the guys that you recruited maybe? Mm. You know, maybe the flaw in your recruitment, maybe you're taking guys that don't like adversity, can't handle adversity, and say you're going to sit there and force them through it, as opposed to some people are just like, oh, well, screw it, I'm out.
If I just gave a basic number, and I would think that out of 10 recruiting athletes right now that are being recruited that are high-level Division I players, out of those 10, I would probably say 6 of them are entitled to the point where they feel like they should be given a lot more.
Yeah.
6 out of 10, which is different, very different. Different thought process nowadays.
There's a couple of transfers to watch out for to see how lenient this transfer in granting immediate eligibility is. Because Justin Fields, he had a legitimate reason to leave Georgia, not just the fact he wasn't going to play. But Tate Martell is transferring from Ohio State down to Miami. He has retained a lawyer as well to try and fight on his behalf. And if he wins, his was solely on playing time.
Yes.
Like, that was it. And then Brew McCoy, who signed a letter of intent on the early signing period at USC, showed up on campus, enrolled at school, and then Cliff Kingsbury left, and he decided to transfer to Texas. If those two guys are granted immediate eligibility, the basically transferring as we know it is a free agency of sorts.
Dusty, in time, it's going to be. It needs to be because you are 18 years old. You're an adult. You shouldn't be locked in based on what Gary Patterson said. We're letting the teenagers make decisions. No, they're listening to you, to their leadership. Yeah. And if you've lied to them and tell them they're going to be something, then remove them out of spite and do that like Bill Schneider did. He's like, I'm not signing this. You can't go anywhere.
Ridiculous. But let's take a look at the coaching carousel, shall we? Every offseason.
Oh, you mean the coach search firm committee and the agents? When you know James Franklin, when they're calling for your NFL jobs, where your agent is taking phone calls for you to leave to an NFL job?
Yeah, and you're only committed to Penn State until it's the New England Patriots or it's the Green Bay Packers that start calling. And that when it stops being the Cleveland Browns and it's one of the prestigious teams, you'll listen. 55305, the Better You Today text line. You know what? It may be fun little to see how many coaches left their schools this past year in the coaching carousel, and then we'll start talking about player movement in the FBS level. Also, Kyler Murray makes a big decision, and talk about leverage in football. He's got some. Right now it's Buck with SportsCenter. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. All right, 7:37. We were talking about the transfer portal and how coaches are all hot and bothered by it. And I mentioned, look at how many jobs have opened up across college football, and coaches jump all the time, and they're just upset that now the players have the freedom to do so as well. Do you know how many head coaching changes in the FBS level alone were made after this season, 2018 alone? 28. 28 head coaching changes in FBS alone this year, yet players can't leave. Over 50 coordinator changes across college football. Yeah, players can't leave. The people that recruit them leave. They can't. That's an issue.
Well, there's always been a kind of thing in our country, or just in general, about in free market, is that you have to earn your stripes. Put in your time. From every industry. Our industry. Guys got to sit there. You sat behind six years on that other desk over there. Did you earn your stripes? Did anybody give it to you?
No.
Well, I mean, this is a legitimate thing here. Would if someone would have offered a spot, would you have jumped immediately? Yeah. A lot of us do. So in football, what we're saying is that you would have been had to sit there for 4 years and sat there. And then if you would have liked to take another job, the guy on this side of the mic got four more contract offers at a high level, but he's going to tell you you have to sit there. It is different. Okay, it is. Football is different. College football is different. It's masquerading under this amateur sport thing that's been around since the 60s because it's a lie. It's always been a lie, and it will continue to be a lie. I advocate for making sure that we do the right thing for letting these players have choices. You're not giving them any money if they transfer.
No.
Okay, you're not handing them checks.
Unless you go to Ole Miss, apparently.
Pointing after 33 games, they're going to vacate.
They're vacating 33 games. Oh, yeah, but, God. I mean,
that's the lie. That's the lie behind it. If we were more transparent about the truth behind it, isn't that better for you to be able to see it out in front of you? Do you want to be lied to? Do you want to masquerade?
No.
Do you want to have blinders on? Well, some people do. Some people just, they don't tell me everything. I don't want to see it. I just want to see the game. Okay, the underbelly, the dirty underbelly of it, is that coaches are paid a lot of money now because there's an exorbitant amount. A lot. I mean, when we're talking a lot, we're talking a lot.
We are. Like $10 million for Jim Harbaugh a year ago.
Well, what did Jimbo Fisher get to leave? $75 million guaranteed.
Over 10 years, $7.5 million.
$75 million,
by the way,
to coach young men at Texas A&M.
In a state with no income tax.
Sure. Sure. So should players receive a chunk of that? That's not what we're advocating here. They should be able to decide as adult men whether they get 4 years of football eligibility where they enjoy it or feel like there's a better chance to play.
Well, and I like having a conversation about it. But don't pull a Gary Patterson and say, what, are we going to let the teenagers make the rules of the house? These are adults, man.
There's a lot of kids out there that don't have parents and are growing up without and are more adult than a lot of adults. Look, I know guys that are in their 40s, and I know dudes that are 18 to 22, and they're 50 times more mature and more prepared. Just because you're older doesn't mean you're smarter or more intelligent.
No.
It just means that you might have a few more years under the on the belt.
Yeah.
More notches that you scratched off. So, but because you're the coach and you're getting paid $5.7 million, Gary Patterson, you now hold their power and control.
And every time you've threatened to leave or there's been a threat that you leave, you get a pay raise.
Yeah.
And you don't.
Yeah.
And, you know, you made the point of James Franklin before the break, and that's why we went up and we looked. James Franklin's agent is taking calls from NFL teams. Yet he's saying, hey, don't leave, guys. Don't leave. Let's talk about loyalty here. Let's talk about loyalty. Loyalty is 28 head coaching changes over 50 coordinator
changes.
That's
never
going to
change
football.
Either.
No.
That's
no.
not.
But don't hold the adults that you're recruiting to a different standard. That's what I'm saying is, why are you holding them to this level that you don't live up to yourself?
I think that as coaches, you still have to give across to them and put across to these guys that we have an accountability thing here.
No doubt about it.
We have a style. We have whatever we want to believe here. If you're Willie Taggart, what is your style? What is your mantra that you put out on Twitter?
Do some.
Yeah, believe it or not, you're still going to sell that, Jim Harbaugh. You're going to sell that, I mean, Coach Cristobal. This is what we do here. Now, if you don't get behind it, that's fine. We'll go find somebody else. Yep. But don't pretend to me that there's an equal ground that we're standing on.
And as this text says, you know, no one's telling these recruits they have to go to Bama, Ohio State, Michigan, et cetera, when there are 10 four or five star kids already there at their positions either. Now, here's the thing is my whole idea about that is you don't know what a college is like really until you get on campus. And a lot of these guys are sitting there going, looking around, and you may go, okay, I'm going to be realistic with myself. If I don't see myself seeing the field here, why don't I give myself a chance somewhere where I will? You know, and that's what they want.
Because we live in a culture now, which is the double-edged sword. We teach every young athlete or anybody that's in, and it doesn't matter, young athlete, young coders, young app developers, young intelligent people that are on YouTube. We teach all of our kids, at least a lot of us out there, say, go make your own brand. Go do you. Jump to the next team. Go be part of this. Go be part of a winner. If you're a loser, are you a starter? So if you're not starting, are you a loser? In some people's minds, in parents' minds, or anybody that's behind you as a young person, are you a loser if you're not a starter?
A lot of people, yeah. A lot of people look at it that way. Seen the adversity before.
They haven't dealt with that.
Yeah.
Okay. That goes with our parents. I think the parents' jobs need to take more accountability on how they raise their kids. I'm not going to tell you how to raise them. I'm just going to tell you what I think. This is what we've created that. The fear is I still believe there is a part of a pecking order, or there is still a time where you actually earn something.
You know,
college football still needs to earn something, and they need to take that time to earn it.
You're dang right you do. And I read an article yesterday, actually. It's really interesting. You know Walter Camp, the Walter Camp All-Americans, Walter Camp Award for the best player in college football? They're doing a really good piece on The Athletic where they're going decade by decade the history of football. And Walter Camp kind of rewrote the rules of football and wanted them to be flexible, and they wanted them to change. Do you know what the basis of his rules of football were?
No.
And so the game that we know about it right now is that the quarterback, his job was just to be a sole distributor and was supposed to be like a manager of an office. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be the bureaucracy. It was supposed to mirror the bureaucracy of corporate America was what his vision of college football is. And we see he was doing it by the rules of the game, but then the popularity caught up and it actually is a mirror of corporate America. Mm-hmm. And now college football coaches are like, no, get away from it. Yeah. The whole game was built to be this way by Walter Camp. He literally wanted the rules to mirror corporate world.
Yeah. And could it be? Well, it's definitely a top heavy. it's a pyramid scheme. That's pretty what college football is. And the guys at the top have earned their way, and the coaches. This text says salary cap. Better you today text line. Salary cap for coaches. The athlete should be paid. I don't think there should be a salary cap for coaches. That's not the answer. And should players be paid from universities? I also don't believe that. I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't think that the university should ever write a check to the players. Cost of living, cost of attendance, come up to the level of what it costs to live in your area. But I think college students should be able to have their likeness. Yeah. If you sell their name on a jersey, they should get a cut. If you want to go out and make a YouTube channel to review things, you should be able to do that. If you want to work at a job and sell your autograph and sign a piece of paper, you should be able to do that. That's how I circumnavigate. You don't need the colleges to write checks at this point.
No. This text, the older will always lean on no matter what the sport or dynamics of life, you need to earn yours first. And to that, I say a lot of times these coaches are just lying to kids to get them on campus.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's your first lesson these kids are learning. And then they finally get there and they go, you know what? Screw you. It's not the what you told me it was going
to
be.
But I think there are a lot of great coaches out there that know how to sell these young men.
Oh yeah. And keep them.
They do. And they understand that those great programs do that. But then there's a lot of Alabamas and Georgias who just keep bringing in tons of great talent. And even though they don't keep them all, they still find ways to win.
But my God, they keep a lot of them.
They sure do.
Like we look at
just a couple of guys. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some. It's part of life.
Yep. Sure is.
Deal with it. Let him go. Let him go play somewhere else 4 years. 4 years of his life.
All right. Kyler Murray has some leverage. And we have a lot of football leftovers to get to. Murray has big leverage. Dustin Cam on the Fan. I got this email, Buck, that I sat there and I went, old buddy, it's college basketball season, and it's here. March 21st and 22nd at the Independent Sports Bar and Grill. Fan Madness is coming back.
I don't know what Fan Madness is. Tell me, Dusty.
Well, it's sponsored by Nike Hoop Summit, Encore Audio Video. And basically, it's you skip work. First 2 days of the tourney, we're going to be out at the Independent. Dirt and Sprague are going to be broadcasting live from the Independent, as will Primetime with Isaac and Souk. And you can come down, party with us. We're not going to broadcast from the Independent because they don't want us there at 6 a.m.
Well, why not?
Also, there aren't games on
cool.
then.
There are
well,
not
so
games.
What?
So you want to sit in an empty bar?
Yeah, man. I'm kidding. No, I'm not.
Sounds like my weeknights. But anyways,
I think breakfast is huge. You want to wake up, have a little breakfast, a little sports talk, put on the TVs, talk a little bit.
You know, last year I had a great time down at the Independent doing the breakfast and bloodies.
Or
last couple of years,
right? Or it's more fun to go sit there and heckle, you know, Dirt and Sprague, Isaac and Souk.
You're dang right, it is. And so we'll be out there March 21st and 22nd. Start to circling those dates, because if you don't know, those are the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament. So jump on board. Let's do this. It's college basketball season. Yeah. Pac-12's hoping to get more than one team in. They're hoping to get one team in the top 25 right now.
Yeah.
And this was going to be Washington's week, but then they had to go and lose. Yeah. What's going on? Well,
what do you mean, what's going on?
It's why they got to go and
basketball
lose?
Basketball right now.
Yeah, so bad. So
not great.
Bad.
It's not great.
Hey, women's, though. Oregon was a one seed, and yeah. Oregon State was a three seed, I saw, in the women's tournament.
That's pretty good.
Those revenue generators. We do got some great women's basketball, baseball, sure. Softball.
Softball. Oregon softball is a dumpster fire right now.
Undefeated.
Undefeated.
Dumpster fire. They've only played like Seattle U and Kansas and Missouri, yeah. which we all know is
hopefully
national
they get
powers.
Better. Hopefully they find their new way. A new coach coming in.
Yeah, I don't know, man. When you have a bunch of walk-ons and 12 people leave your program.
Well, that's what happens when you bring a new culture in. She brought a new culture, changes everything. Put a dress code in, put a couple other things, and they don't like that. People don't like that.
Well, if it was Gary Patterson, he would throw a fit and say, why is everyone, sure. you can't leave us.
Yeah, he'd rebuild.
Could you imagine if there was a mass exodus like that at a football program, though? Think about, if you don't know what Oregon have, Oregon's coach leaves for more money.
Yes.
Mike White goes to Texas.
Yes.
Okay. They have 12 players, was it? Either get injured or transfer out of the program completely. They have to go to the soccer team and get walk-ons.
Yeah.
Like, what would happen at a Division I football program if
that would never happen.
New coach comes in have mass exodus of transfers who are like, we're out, don't like it, I'm gone.
Oh, I'm not saying that would never happen, but there's 85 scholarships. You could probably keep 60. What's a mass exodus in football? 10?
So you have 20. If you were to have 25, you have 25 of your scholarship players just up and walk out. Yeah. That's not, when you look at what these coaches are talking, the fear of the transfer portal is, this is exactly it, is that a new coach comes in, you don't like it, everybody packs up and leaves.
Yeah, but if you believe in your system, believe in what you're selling these people and these kids and these families, then you just hold fort to what you're doing. Hold fort to your identity. Okay, you're not going to be able to make all this. If you think you can control 85 guys all the time, that's insane. It's just not the way it works anymore.
Nope, not one bit. All right, let's get to some Kyler Murray, shall we?
Yeah.
Kyler Murray has decided he will play for the Oakland Athletics, maybe the Oakland Raiders. He's got leverage that's unprecedented in the NFL draft. Will he use it? Dustin Cam on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.